Recording will start here in just a second. Awesome. Hey, welcome to the Bear Fruit Show. Super excited for our guest today, the one and only Brent Gove, one of a kind. Thank you for being here, Brent.
Great to be here, Kyle.
Absolutely. So Brent is an amazing, amazing man. We're going to dive into a little bit about what he's done. So since 1997, Brent Gove has been successful selling real estate in Sacramento, following the example set by his parents, both long time in real estate agents. Him and his team now have sell hundreds of homes annually, having sold over 4,000 homes in the past 23 years, and the number 11 team or worldwide agent from former home Remax, along with running one of the largest Keller Williams franchises in the country. He is now with EXP, a world traveler and in demand speaker. I'm excited for your event coming up. And I'm sure you have a lot coming up, the one in San Antonio. So Brent is the author of Momentum, the definitive resource of how to become a super agent. Brent is passionate about both inspiring and teaching agents to not just be great sales agents, but actually build a lasting real estate organization. So welcome, Brent. We're super excited to have you, and I'm excited to learn from you today and learn from who you learn from. So
great to be here. Thank you, Kyle, man. It's going to be a good day.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your story. It sounds like, I mean, obviously your parents were in real estate and you kind of learned from them and got into the business. What was that kind of like?
You know, I'll tell you the truth. You know, you go to high school and you meet with those career counselors and they talk to you, do you want to go to college? What college do you want to go to? And what kind of career do you want to have? Do you like business? Do you want to be an accountant? Do you want to be a banker? You want to wear a suit and tie the rest of your life? And, you know, none of that stuff sounded good. You want to be a botanist, you know, a scientist?
Yeah.
There was no category that said real estate. It literally never crossed my mind. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to college. And then you got to get a degree in something. So I thought, what do I really love? Free time. So I looked at careers that would give me maximum free time. And that was teaching. Back in the 80s, you got off in June. And in my opinion, you went back in September and you had July and August off, right?
June, yeah, that's great.
Like 2-3 months off every summer, the rest of your life. Sign me up. People are like, oh, you love kids? No, I love free time. Kids are great. Houseboat. I want to fish. I want to go to the cabin, enjoy Lake Tahoe. So that's what I did. And then I got into sales while I was in college and I started making triple what my college professors were making. I'm like, and I think my gift is not just teaching, it's selling.
Yeah.
I love people and I think my gift is selling. And so I went into sales for the next 10 years till I was 29. And then at 30, someone said, you should get your real estate license. You would kill it. You know, instead of selling things that cost $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 and making a commission of that, you sell things that cost $200,000, $300,000. You get a bigger commission.
Like, yeah.
And so I got in real estate when I was 30. I'm 57. I've been at it actually 27 years now. And it's been
a while.
Have loved every day, every week, every month, every year. It's been great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love your energy. You've been in the business for 27 years, and what's kind of kept you going in the sense of like, hey, I've done that, or you're still excited about it. It's like you're a brand new agent ready to, you know, knock on some doors and make things happen. So what's the secret sauce for staying excited?
It's always surprising when people say, man, how do you stay motivated? How do you get not motivated? I mean, how do you become not motivated? I know of no other way to be than motivated. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of money. Yeah, millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars a year now, and I get to travel the world. But I'm still super motivated. It's not about the money. Mm. It's about helping people. And when you help people, get what they want, you get what you want. Time, money, freedom, all those sort of things. And so, every once in a while, Kyle, you'll meet a real estate agent. I hate people. I'm like, oh, my God. You should not be in.
You're in the wrong business.
Mean, nasty brokers that no one's like, oh dear God, don't show Joe's listings and don't show Pam's listings. You know, yeah. Oh, Pam, she's really sweet. I know a good Joe, but you get the idea.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. No, that's true. That's true. So, I mean, you literally now in your business, you've gotten to a point where you're traveling the world. I know you're in Puerto Rico part of the time and just kind of putting on these amazing events. Like, how did you How did you get there? What was kind of the, maybe the people that you met along the way or certain circumstances where it was really just a shift to like, wow, this is like a whole new chapter. This is something that I just never thought, like, how did you get there? Basically, who taught you?
I think it all started when I was 19 washing dishes at college and my dad came up to Chico State.
Yeah.
At the time voted the number one party school in America. So I'm
like, yeah.
And he gave me a cassette tape series. I think there was old when you had these old cassette tapes, number four on this side, four on this side. So eight cassette tapes. It was Dr. Dennis Waitley. And he had coached astronauts at NASA in space, gold medal athletes, standing U.S. presidents. He was, you know, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. Dr. Dennis Waitley, amazing guy. Best friends were Jim Rome, Zig Ziglar, Earl Nightingale. I mean, they were all alive.
Okay. Together. Yeah.
The only one who's still alive is Dr. Dennis Waitley. I just did an event with him in La Jolla with about 28 people. He's 91 now. He's doing great.
Wow.
But I started listening to tapes that was called The Inner Winner. And I never really thought about having a positive mental attitude and being a goal setter and having a predominant thought, not thinking about what you don't want because you'll get it, but think about what you do want because you'll just start moving that way. And the power of proximity and, you know, association. And I learned those things at 19. I never stopped learning. And then to answer your question, how did I get to where I am today? If NALREP did something, I went. If ARIA did an event, I went. If Young Professionals in Real Estate had an event, I went. If Brian Buffini had an event, I went. Joe Stump, Howard Brenton, Craig Proctor, Mega Camp, Family Reunion, on and on and on. NAEA, Y Lopo did an event. I went to real estate events and I sought out superstars. And I asked a lot of questions. I went back and implemented, and I was terrible. I think the struggle. I was willing to struggle. I was willing to get dirty, messy, fall in a mud puddle, get mud on my face, embarrass myself, say stupid things often with velocity. And pretty soon you just stop saying stupid things. You stop. They zig, you zag, they bob, you weave. You're like, you know exactly what you're doing, when to say it, when to deliver it, how to do it. You're completely in control, but it starts off you being horrible. And I wish I could take credit. You are going to struggle until you stop struggling. Then it's fun and easy.
So you took massive action and was like, hey, I am just going to go for it. But I think a key in there was you're willing to go to events and you're willing to seek out people who have been before you. And that's really what this show is about, Bear Fruit Life, like Bear Fruit Show, like learning from somebody who has gone before you and allowing their ceiling to be your floor. But you were saying like, hey, I've struggled along the way and I fell and got muddy and all those things, but you were willing to just go. And I think there's something about getting on a plane and going somewhere because there's risk involved, there's money involved, there's all of those things. And I think that I've never heard a lot of people say that, hey, I went to events and that's what started to change my business. So I really, and it's great because now you're in the event space because you believe in it so much, which is awesome. So yeah, I really like that. I really like that.
It's true that I take notes at the front. I'm a front rower.
Yeah.
Don't sit in the back. The back room is the worst place you can sit. Same with church. You want church to be boring.
Yeah.
Back, because you'll see people pop up, tripping over people, dropping a couple back. I sit in the front row. I'm completely keyed into what the speaker says. I don't know what's happening behind me. I don't care what's happening. I flew 3,000 miles to pay attention. The more I paid, the more I paid attention. I slept in cars. I've eaten granola bars for 3 days. I didn't have money to buy food. I've shared hotel rooms with people I barely knew. They had a bed. I had a bed. Hey, nice to meet you. I'm out and get
out. Yeah, yeah.
But I did what it took. And so those things are really important, a willingness to grow and to change. And by the way, I would sit in the front row and I would take notes. It blows me away when people don't take notes. Just the mere act of writing down what you're hearing increases your retention 60%.
Wow. And then
at home, I would take notes from my notes. I get all my notes. I'm like, okay, this is good.
Organize it. Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, this is great. Circle it, highlight it. Keep asterisk, 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 asterisk. And then I would take notes from my notes and I add highlights. Anybody ever does that? People don't take notes from their notes. It has served me like I can't even tell you.
Wow. So the notes from the notes, I really like that. That's something I definitely need to implement because I definitely take notes, but I do go back through them, but I don't go through and take notes from my notes. So I really like that.
Salient points, highlight them, put highlight. Then actually take all those points out of all those 30, 40, 50 pages of notes. I mean, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 pages of notes. You're scribbling as quick as you can. Oh, bam, there it is. Like pure gold. And then I have a highlight page and it's just like, you know, key ceiling point number one, number two, number three, number four. I get up to like 35, 40 key just one-liners that change your life. Then I teach it to other agents. And then you learn even more. So.
Yeah, when you teach, yeah, I agree. I'm in the process of doing that. I agree 100%. So it's, but the application piece was what was also a big changer because it made you mess up and made you fail. It's like, hey, I'm going to try to figure this out, but I'm going to try and go for it and I'm going to fail along the way. How, were you always okay with failing or was it something that you just had to try to figure out? Or
I love failure. I love it. Willing to fail, and that's my opinion. What holds people back there are simply not willing to look bad. I'm willing to look bad. I know I have love in my heart. I'm doing the best I can. Oops, screwed that up. Next time I won't screw it up quite that bad. Next time, ooh, a little better. Like, wow, that was pretty good. Ooh, they should have had a video camera. Nailed it. But I had to go through the tripping and the falling and the stumbling to where I look great on a listing appointment. And I know I'm the buyer. And I'm complete control. There's total peace. The client has peace because they know what I know what I'm talking about. And I have peace because I know what I'm talking about. And all the stress and anxiety is out of it. This whole part of real estate where you're gone, but you struggle, get a ticket on the struggle bus and grit, man, fight through it to figure it out.
Yeah. You remind me of like a dog in a fight, right? Like somebody who's just not going to give up, just going to
go, baby.
Let's go. Yeah, I love it.
Build it easy. If you build it hard, it's easy. If you build it easy, it's the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. I think people poke real estate with a stick and they try to do it easy. And if you try to do it easy, it's going to be difficult. But if you just go for it with reckless abandonment, not irresponsibly, but you know what I mean? You just go for it.
Yeah, all in. Like and you have to. Like saying, you.
That, yeah, there's a great saying. They don't listen to the words. People want the script. The script. What do I say? They don't listen to the words. I mean, yeah, okay, fine. I need some sort of script, but they don't listen to the words. They listen to music. It's not what you say. It's how you say what you say. It's fiction. They can feel coming from your soul, man. And like, dang, we're going to go with this guy. We're going to go with this gal because they got some authentic conviction and like game on. That's some mealy mouth mansy pansy. Here's my cookie cutter listing presentation. Here's this. Here's my suit and tie. Here's my laptop. You know, blah, blah. You know, or looking authenticity is the highest form of sales. And when people in the eye and say, I got this and I got you, and you found out and you listened to them because you built rapport, you know what they're why they're motivated to sell or why they're motivated to buy. Game over, then you deliver at a high level.
Yeah. So you're literally just the off, just enthusiastic, being authentic, the excitement. There's another word that you said in there. What was it?
Intensity.
And I mean, intensity, all of it, but just really just that excitement, I think is something that attracts. I mean, it attracts people. It's like, yeah, like this person really knows. You know, they may not know what they're doing, but they're excited about it and they're going to at least get somewhere versus somebody who you said kind of comes in and cookie cutter and monotone and not like excited about like what's possible. So yeah, no, I think that's a game changer. I mean, even a clock is right twice a day, right? So it's like you're still, you know, you're still going to be right. As long as you're just willing to step on the field and play play hard, right? It's kind of like a game of football. It's like you don't want to be timid in it. You just want to, if you hit somebody hard, I mean, it may be a mistake, but at least, I mean, it's probably going to be better than not, than playing timid.
You harder, your butt. You're going to see you seeing stars. You want to be the punisher.
Yeah.
Ziegler's got a great saying about sales. He said, the key to sales is the word enthusiasm. You ever heard this, Kyle? You're a young guy. I don't know if you're a big Zig Ziglar guy.
I know who Zig Zig is. Zig Ziglar, he said a lot of good things. But yeah. Tell me.
The key to sales is the word enthusiasm, and especially the last four letters of that word enthusiasm, which stands for I am sold myself. And when you can, with conviction, I believe in this product or this service is going to help you, and here's why. And you can share that with conviction, authenticity, and emotion and passion. They're like, okay, let's give it a go. Let's go. That's always helped me a lot. The other thing, Kyle, is when you lose, I think some of the great best salespeople are highly competitive, and none of us win every single time. The key, and this is what I found people don't do, and this, Kyle, was worth coming to the show today, is ask the buyers, hey, I'm so excited you bought a home over the weekend while I was camping. That's great. You know, you bought with Coldwell Banker, or you listed your home this weekend with Century 21 or Sotheby's or Keller Williams or EXP. That's great. But can I just, this is how I make my living. I'm truly excited for you. But I also want to learn and grow and do a better job for my family. This is how I make a living for my family, support my wife and kids, my husband and kids, whatever your situation is. I said, what was it that that Coldwell Banker agent did, that that Berkshire did, I didn't do? Like, what made you choose to list your home with that Remax agent instead of me? Because I want to learn and grow. It won't be hurting my feelings. I need to know the truth. Okay.
Yeah.
You were late. You were not prepared. Your car was a mess. We looked in your car. We saw McDonald's wrappers and Starbucks car. We were appalled when we looked in your car. And I'm just making stuff up.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
But you got to go, well, my car wasn't that dirty. And I was 4 minutes late. I go, no. You receive, you don't know. I've seen people do this and argue with them. You didn't know about the school districts. Yes, I did. I talked about, no. Just take it in. Okay. Yeah. They felt I wasn't as knowledgeable as I was about the school districts, the HOA. My car was a mess. I was late. I was disheveled. I wasn't mentally in the game. You know, you just show up like a and so take in that information. So one day, I get a lot of listings that go on. I don't lose a lot. But I had one sewed up left. I knew I was going to get the listing. I called them back. You ready to go? I go, actually, we went ahead and did list our home with another brokerage. I'm like, really? I'm like, So I did what I'm teaching you to do. I said, awesome. Thrilled for you. I mean, obviously, you found somebody you think's going to do a great job. Couldn't be happier for you. But then I did the old, hey, I want to learn, I want to grow, you know, and this is how I provide for my family. If you could just tell me what it was they did that I didn't do so I can make changes and provide a better service to my clients like they did, would you be willing to coach me a little and give me some feedback? They go, sure. They go, well, we actually interviewed 5 companies. You were our second choice. They go, but man, we were going to list with you when you left. I go, I know. I totally thought you were too. But the 5th one came through. Oh my gosh. They go, he said he wanted this listing so bad he could taste it. He said, you say jump, I say how high. He's like, I guarantee you nobody's going to outwork me. I will turn over every rock, every leaf. I will talk to every agent. There's nobody that's going to work harder to sell your house for the highest possible price of me. Give me a chance. I want this so bad I could taste it. And they went, wow. They go, you know, some agents were like not impressive at all. You were pretty doggone impressive. We were pretty much sold on you till we met this guy. This guy just took it to another gear. And we looked at him and go, this is our guy. We listed with them. I said, wow. I go, what company? They go, New Vision. I go, what agent? Steve Hillier. I go, I love it. I trained Steve Hillier 20 years ago. I talked about it leaving General Gold's Gym as a general manager. I got it, helped him get his real get him. I go, I couldn't be happier. But, and I called Steve up and I go, Steve, dog, he got you. But he didn't know he was competing against me. I didn't know I was competing against him, but I learned from it.
Yeah.
I said, Kyle, on the next listing, Kyle, I want this listing so bad I can taste it, man. Every rock, every leaf, you say jump, I say how high. I can promise you, nobody. I will talk to every agent in town. I want this listing so bad I can taste it. And I go, what do you say? I got the next 10 listings in a row. Just mowed them down because I asked that question. What did he do that I didn't do? And what he had was energy. I'd gotten a little bored, a little cocky, fat and happy. And so I turned up the energy and the intensity. Now, that won't work with an engineer, by the way. But I tend to not. I do... the word, it's a terrible word. I gotta find a better word. Shy away from is a nice way of putting it. Attorneys and engineers. Attorneys because they want to and they have no legal expense. I go, I don't want to represent attorney. They felt I literally, you know, I don't work with attorneys and I don't work with engineers because they're just so into the fine details, and that's just not how I live my life, and I don't enjoy them as I actually don't enjoy working with them. They're nice people, just not for me.
Yeah.
them out and take a 25%, 30% referral fee, whatever. By the way, if it was a listing, I would do a 50% referral fee. Well, industry standard, standard's 25. Here's a listing, Kyle. It's in Durango, California. It's 850,000. I'm going to partner with you on this listing. Come on, I'm going to flop it in your lap and we're going to earn a profit. We're going to split it 50-50. My job is to give you a listing and just go, here you go. You get every sign call, every internet lead, every open house, family, friend, neighbor, coworker. You can have all that at 100%. But this listing is 50-50. And hey, if you're not cool with that, I'll call somebody else. And no problem. You don't have to do it. No, I'll do it. And all of a sudden you have your sign in the yard, not mine. You're getting all those other leads that, because listings have babies right
there. Oh, yeah. They do. Amen.
So I get 50% on listing referrals. Buyer referrals, I might do 15%, 20, 25. I sometimes, if I know the buyer's really difficult, I go up 15%. I get that I could get 25%. I don't have the heart to do that. But that's worth 50% all day long. Don't ever give a listing referral out for less than 50% and just say, we're going to partner on it. I'm not going to do anything other than hand it in your lap. That's how the partnership works. You'll do the rest, but you get all those.
Everything all the other stuff. Yep.
At 100%. I've never had anyone tell me no. I get 50% on a listing referral every single time.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's awesome. Yeah, I just did that. I did it, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I took 2% and they got 1%, but they got to put their sign in the yard and all of that kind of stuff. But it was a no-brainer. It was a no-brainer for them. They're like, heck yeah. So yeah. They got to make a video and brand themselves and all of that. So yeah, I mean, 50%, people should say yes to that. That's a no-brainer.
If things marketed properly and you're really on your game, you should, two or three other deals should come off of that over the next 2 or 3 years.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Every for time.
A family member, a coworker, something from the open house, a sign call, an internet lead. So, you've given a market share and then the potential to grow. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. So enthusiasm has been key to the success and learning from others. You said Dr. Dennis Waitley. What was some of the other people along the way when you were that really just kind of took you to that next level in your life and in your business?
Well, I immediately got into Dale Carnegie, John Maxwell. Zig Ziglar and Dale Carnegie were next after Dr. Dennis Waitley. Never ever heard Jim Rohn. I don't know why. I just never ever. He's great. But same thing with Tony Robbins. Tony was walking on fire. I thought, whatever weird dynamics he's doing in his brain to walk on fire, I'm out. You know, I don't need any metaphysical weirdness,
Yeah.
But I've since gone to Tony Robbins events over the past 6 years. It's amazing. Everyone should go. Great.
Yep.
It's like college. Do you believe every single thing every professor says at some university? No. If you've ever had some class, you know, that college professor is smoking crack cocaine. Full of BS. That's not even funny. Everybody knows it. So you just mean because you go to Tony Robbins event, you're going to agree to everything he says. I agree with 95 to 97% of everything. There's 3 to 5% that not for me. I'm not comfortable with, and that's fine. I still love Tony Robbins, and he has so many good things. I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah. So many of it's just principles right out of the Bible that are put in like a different perspective, but they're biblical principles. Really good for me. Loved it. Everyone should go to, but Tony Robbins has been late in my life. One of the books, my favorite all-time books, is by Og Mandino. It's called The Greatest Salesman That Ever Lived. You ever read that book, Kyle?
I haven't. I think I might've read a paper on it.
Okay, there's two things that'll change your life. One is Jesus. The other, Og Mandino's book, The Greatest Salesman That Ever Lived. That book, other than the Holy Bible, has had the most profound impact on my life. I've bought no less than 200 or 300 copies over the last 20 or 30 years. I have stacks at my office. Anyone comes to my office, I don't give them candy. I don't give them a cold drink. In that book, Og Mandino, I probably bought 600 or 700 copies. Little paperback, you read it in 2 nights, it'll change your life. It'll give you so much hope and fire and passion and, you're just pumped up. That book is awesome. And if you honestly, Kyle, listen to me, don't take this wrong, but I feel sorry for you. You're operating at such a massive deficit. Everybody else said, you ever read that book? Oh my God. You're doing great. I know you're going to make over $500,000 this year and you're doing great. North of that, but you're doing this with one arm tied behind your back, reading that book, tie the other arm.
So all right. I'm going to get it. I'm going to buy it right when we get off this. I really am. I'll send you a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I think I might have read a paper on him. Is he the one who he tells a story, or maybe he's the one who wasn't very good at, like, he wasn't very outgoing and all that kind of stuff. And he was more about, what was it? He was very much about, like, the education on stuff, educating people. Is that, no?
But I've read every book he's ever written, but I, you know, personally about how he was as a person, I don't recall the details of that. Okay. I know.
Either way, I need to read it, so I'll read it.
He put a gun to his head and almost pulled the trigger. He was suicidal.
Wow.
He barely didn't pull the trigger. He went on to write books, and he's one of the most incredible gifts to humanity. There's a book he wrote called The 12th Angel, which I never read because I'm like, I don't want to read a book about angels or demons or I just. Yeah, yeah. Even though I'm a Christian, I love the Lord and I do believe in angels and all that stuff. But I go, it's the 12th angel. I'm just not going to read it. What a dumb decision I made. It's not about angels at all. It's just a very title. It is an awesome book, The 12th Angel by Ogmandino. Holy smokes. All his books are great. Every book. He's written like 8 or 9 or 10 books. You can buy the stack of them. You can get 4. They're all little paperbacks. They're fun reads. If you want to have spirits lifted and feel encouraged and be a caveman or a cavewoman, Tarzan or Jane. I want to just get read those books.
Yeah, no, I will. I will. I just wrote his name down. So that's definitely going to happen. That's awesome. So I know you, you know, you've mentioned you're, you know, a believer, same with me. What has God done in your life to kind of transform your life and not just your life, but also your business and everything?
Everything. The Bible says you're either walking in light or you're walking in darkness. I was walking in darkness. I didn't know the Lord. If you don't know Jesus, you're walking in darkness. You might as well be a boy. Oh, I'm not. I'm not. You'll see. So what is faith? A belief in things not yet seen.
Take a step and
go, God, if you're real, Jesus, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. You know, honest, sincere. I don't know if you're real, but people don't do that. They go, I'm sleeping with my girlfriend. When I quit sleeping with my boyfriend, I quit sleeping with my girlfriend. When I quit drinking and partying, that doesn't matter. The devil will say, oh, no, you can't do that because you drink, you party, you sleep with your girlfriend, you sleep with your boyfriend. Forget all that. Would you like to know God? Would you like to know peace? No God, no peace. No God, no peace. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah. Now,
right? And I'm just telling you, if you want joy and peace, or wherever you're listening to this podcast or watching this on YouTube, just say, Lord Jesus, I receive you. If he's fake and not real and it's not, then nothing's going to happen. But yeah. He is real. And the Bible's clear. He loves you. He has a great plan for your future. He wants to bless you and prosper you. And it's amazing. It's you're going to know joy and peace. And really, eternity is the ultimate long game. Like, you're going to die. And you're just going to be in the ground. Or we believe there's heaven. And it goes on forever and ever and ever. That's the ultimate long game. So right now, wherever you are, take a prayer of faith and just be honest. I don't know if you're real. But if you are, show me. And I'm telling you what, in the next week, 2, 3, month or 2, that he'll show up. He'll honor that prayer to blow you away, and you'll be what we call saved. So, total Jesus guy.
Come on, that's good, man.
Yep.
Amen.
I was never a pastor, but I preach and share the gospel where I can.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Amen. Yeah, anybody listening, amen to that. Definitely say that prayer and say, yeah, that's, I want, you know, show me that you're real. And he will. He'll show up. He always does.
Where you are in Bible study, it'll rock your world. It'll blow your mind. Go, Kyle.
That's awesome. So I know you said you wanted to teach people one thing, and we mentioned one of them was taking massive action. But in taking that massive action, you can become a master at one thing. You know, explain that a little bit to me. Like, why do I need to just focus on one thing versus focusing on, like, kind of all these things, or what does becoming a master really mean?
I think people are comfortable with good. And like that book, From Good to Great, good is the enemy of great.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at this. Good open house, pretty good at, you know, for sale by owners or door knocking, or I'm pretty good at, you know, TikTok, or I do decent podcasts. And really, you look at Michael Jordan, Michael Phelps, you know, Kobe Bryant, Serena Williams, you look at people who were great in their life. They get really highly focused. It's like, you know, in the 8th grade, your buddies come over, you're having a slumber party in the backyard, you get the tank, get the flashlight.
Yeah.
see the flashlights moving around and you're giggling and laughing as kids. And there's a time to be a child and to have a flashlight. Then you get a little more focused, get in high school and into college, you're like a laser, right? And you point that thing and it'll go half a mile across the stadium and light up the other side or someone's forehead, like the Bourne Identity, a little laser. What is it? It's the power of focus. It focuses in so much, it condenses the light and it's far more powerful and effective. And then you have an industrial laser, and those things you don't play with. You could just go, you could slice right through a steel beam. The light gets so much more condensed and focused. So slice right through a steel beam like butter. Mm. And so you need to figure out what your superpower is. For me, it is open houses. Like if I start over in real estate, I would buy about 50 open house signs. I'd be in Tampa. I'd be in Houston. I'd be in Phoenix. I'd be in Seattle. I'd be in Denver. I'd be in Durango. And I would put out 50 open house signs. It would take me an hour, hour and a half. I might hire some 18-year-old to help me do it. And then I would do an open house in a premium neighborhood. I would call around to Coldwell Banker agents, REMAX agents, independent agents. Hey, can I hold your listing open? No, you can't. Quit bothering me. Hey, can I hold your listing open? No, I'm doing it myself. Quit bothering me. Hey, can I hold your listing open in you know, Rancho, Whitney Ranch? Yeah, absolutely. They're bugging me to do it. And I'm going to Durango or I'm going to Vail this weekend. Thank God you called. Yes, you can hold it open. All of a sudden, I'm holding a premium, not just any open house. I'm in the markets I want to be in, some killer house. It's not my listing. Nobody else knows that. I got 50 signs out. It's overkill. Everything leads to me. I spend a lot of time putting this. I will have dozens and dozens and dozens of people there that day. Yes, I've had some where two or three people came or nobody came. And that's where you work on your prayer life and you get on your knees before the Lord and you pray. And that's a good thing too. But yeah. Most of them are so many people. I have 50 to 100 people show up in open houses. Then I'll put out 5 or 10 or 15 open houses signs. And so I put out a lot. Some places won't let you do it. So you got to go to different parts of towns. They sometimes have sign laws and ordinances and you find out where you can do it and where you can't. But I would just kill it. That is what I would do. Because you're putting yourself in the path of progress. You're meeting people. And then you learn how to talk to them. And we don't have time now, but I have a 90-minute training. $3.8 million in a single year from leads from open houses. And
wow.
$3.8 million. And that's at brentgove.com. You click on buyer training and you watch it. I don't charge. I mean, I think you might be able to get my book there.
I'm going to throw it up for you. So. It should be how to get in touch with Brent. It just goes to brentcove.com. So you can click on that link and you can get his book, you can get his course, all your stuff's there. So that's super awesome. You said that it's a free course on how to do open houses.
Yeah. Any courses. I don't sell coaching. All my resources, all yours, is literally nothing to buy except my book. I don't even know if you can get my book there, to tell you the truth. Find it on Amazon or whatever. I don't even know if my book's on there. I wrote the book because I want to write the book. But anyway.
Brent, what's the name of your book?
Momentum.
Momentum. Momentum. That's right. That's right. I need to read that. I just wrote it down. So awesome. Yeah. So just a sneak peek, what's Momentum about? What are people going to walk away with that?
About creating momentum. If you have momentum in real estate, everything you touch turns to gold. When you're sucking wind, you not have momentum, and real estate is no fun. It's spanky spanky time. It's like sucks the oxygen out of the room. It takes your heart and just and that's a good thing. I remember when I first got started in real estate, it was 1996. It was the middle of the third market corrections back. Every home was boarded up and you didn't show homes unless you have a mag flashlight. Because if you went in those dark boarded up homes, you need to beat someone over the head because it was scary as hell. Boarded up, there's no power, there's water dripping, all of Sacramento, everything was boarded up. They were HUD homes. You get $500 in the job, you can buy a house. And I was selling, two-story homes with pools for $65,000, $75,000 in California with a mag flashlight. And I remember doing an open house in Antelope. It wasn't the best suburb. I wasn't really knowing to pick the best areas because if you get clients in the okay suburb, they have friends and they're okay. And you're buying in that price range, you're competing with investors. It's very difficult. It's much easier. $800,000, $900,000, $1 million home, $1.5 million. They're nicer. They're less damaged. They're fun to show. This house is disgusting. Oh my God. She's got diamonds. I'm like, I'd love to live here. I was thinking, oh, you know, I mean, this woman's standards were very high. I'm thinking, I would give my right arm to live here. So we've all done in neighborhoods where you park the car, you lock your doors, and there's people sitting in front of homes or cars, and they're kind of staring you down. You feel like you got knives in your back. You shouldn't be in those neighborhoods, man. I mean, sell 40 homes in that neighborhood, you'll make it. Sell 40 homes and something, two, three, instead of 200,000, you get to 4 or 6. 40 homes at 6, you make triple the money, far less plumbing and roof repairs and less fighting over requests for repairs and easier to appraise, less damaged homes. It's just, you got to learn how to do it. But it's a rite of passage. Struggling, if you're struggling out there, it's a rite of passage. Lean into it. Hit it harder. Get it over with. If you build it hard, it's easy. If you build it easy, it's hard. So momentum is about leaning into the pain and just getting it over with, wiping the blood off your face and come on, man. Just
let's go. I'm fired up. I'm about to go sell some real estate. This is great.
Your family, this is a what's it about? About your kids.
Yeah.
It is about. That's what it's about. Because your lack of having some guts and grit and your lack of self-discipline and your want to save face and not look foolish is costing children vacations, costing them, maybe they're in public schools. And I'm from California. I am 100% against public schools. I'd like to wipe them. I'm like, nah.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
They teach kids. I mean, I can't even begin to share. Like if I shared stuff here that like, I think is insane.
Yeah,
people would say, I'm not going to go there, but holy
no, I think everybody, yeah.
And so I had my kids in private school because daddy went caveman and I could afford private schools. Not everyone can, but your lack of discipline is hurting your family. This is very personal. It's about your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I agree 100%. We got our kids in private school. And so, yeah, I mean, even in Colorado here. So, and that's what it's about. You're right. Going caveman, getting that, you know, focus and being hyper focused, taking massive action, getting that blood on your face, wiping it off, saying, yep, that's, you know, I'm going for it and being okay with failure. And that failure will allow you to catapult into success. Well, Brent, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. This was a ton of fun. I'm taking notes. I'm reading these books. I'm going to be taking some of your courses just on there on the open houses because agents I'm working with need to do this. I need to do this. Like people need to do this. So excited to see you at your event in San Antonio. And thank you so much for your time, Brent.
Oh, you bet. Hey, by the way, every Tuesday at 2:10 p.m. Pacific, that's 5:10 Eastern, I do a 20-minute training called Mastering Sales with Brent Gove. It's broker agnostic. We have Remax agents there, Keller Williams, EXP, Sotheby's, Berkshire Hathaway, Independents. Everybody's there, and it's 20 minutes long. And one week I'm doing buyer tips. Next week I'm doing seller strategies. Last week I did how to get more listings. I think I went 25 minutes. It was pure fire and gold. People loved it. And so it's how to get more listings. So it's every single Tuesday at 2:10 Pacific, 5:10 Eastern for 20 minutes. You can listen to it driving on the road. It's like a multivitamin for your soul, for your spirit. And learn some great things, how I sold. I'm coming up on 5,000 sales. I'll know a little something about it, and I'd be happy to help you. And that's it. Zoom with Brent.live. The how you get there, Zoom with Brent.
live.
You can get on there and you get 20 minutes of me each week. Now, if you think, oh, we've had enough of you today, then skip it. But I just wanted to offer that. There's free thing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Cool. Well, thanks, Brent. And thank you for your time. And we're going to definitely send some people there because that's what they need to be doing.
Thanks for having me on your podcast, your YouTube channel. This is awesome. Kyle, yeah. You're the man. Thank you.
You're the man. Thank you. Thank you.
You bet.
Cool. Awesome.